Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 19 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippet. Please feel free to email me with any questions or comments about today's show. You can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. Today, we're going to be interviewing our final Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic speaker, Joe Marr from the University of Michigan. Coach Marr is going to be talking about creating a yearly plan for your athletes, and he'll tell us a little bit about why that's important to him and why it's effective at the University of Michigan. Remember, there's only a couple weeks until the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic. That's on May 9th, but the early bird discount ends this week on April 25th. So if you're going to register, make sure you do it this week. You'll save yourself $15. If you register this week, it's $80. Next week, you can still register, but it'll go up to $95. You can also register at the door, but it'll cost you $105. Still a great value for all these great speakers that we have, but might as well save yourself some cash if you can. Also, remember, we've been approved for 0.7 CEUs from the NSCA and NASM. So this is a great learning opportunity, and we've been endorsed by those organizations. So they believe in what we're doing. We believe in what we're doing. It's a great opportunity to learn from some of the top coaches in the Midwest. If you still want to check out the full schedule of presenters and topics or register for this event, make sure you head to GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com. All the information you need is right there, and we'll update it all the way up until the clinic. All right, before we get on the phone with Coach Marr, if you still aren't familiar with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, it's the web's greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning information, complete with material from the top NHL, collegiate, and private strength coaches. At HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you'll find hundreds of articles, videos, programs, and webinars, all geared towards improving the performance of hockey players. So whether you're a strength and conditioning professional, motivated player, hockey coach, or parent, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is the only resource you'll ever need to produce healthier, stronger, more effective players at any level. We've got new articles, programs, and videos posted weekly. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. You'll be able to check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or they can answer your questions directly in the forum. We know you're going to love the content, but if you're not completely happy with it, simply cancel your trial membership and you'll be out just a buck. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be a member for just $14.95 a month, or you can sign up for the year for just $149 and receive 2 months free. Either way, you're getting a great bargain. There's so much material from these great coaches, so don't miss your chance to be a part of the community. All right, well, we're ready to go here. Let's get on the phone with our guest, Coach Joe Marr. All right, well, we're on the phone with the University of Michigan hockey team strength and conditioning coach, Joe Marr. Joe, you're a busy guy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, I know the season's just wrapped up for the guys, and now you're focused a little bit more on the spring training coming up here. First of all, you were at Yale before you got to Michigan, so tell us a little bit about your trip before getting to the University of Michigan.
Yep, so I was at Yale for quite a few years. And it was almost 6 full seasons, and I started there when Coach Elaine started there as well. I was actually the beginning of his second year. Him and I kind of teamed up, so I worked Helton through that transition and helped build that program and worked on some of the things that we wanted to. And then from there, I actually took a job with the Army. I was a contractor down in Savannah, Georgia, working with the Army Special Operations Group down there. And I did that for about 6 or 7 months before I got a call from University of Michigan. So University of Michigan is one of those places that you don't turn down when you get a phone call from them. So that kind of leads me here. So,
right. So how different is the stuff that you know, you're in the tactical strength and conditioning? And I know there's a big push on that. You know, recently there's a lot going on there in terms of keeping warriors healthy. So what was different about being there? I mean, is it just you know, the same kind of thing where you're keeping them strong, keeping them healthy?
Yeah, so it's the same type of thing. It's actually what's really different is going to be their schedule in terms of what they're doing and where they are or where they're not. So, you know, and it's a lot of that was a lot of education in terms of what continuous and consistent training can provide for them. So a lot of it was stuff in the weight room, obviously, and doing some of that, but a lot of it was also, you know, how you can go about continuing to train this way and why it's good for you to continue to train this way and how that's going to help you in the long run. So, and a lot of that's going to come from creativity because, whether they're deployed or they're at home, there's still going to be some environments that they're, it's not going to be traditional strength conditioning. So, you know, they can be home for a certain block of time throughout the year, but with that being said, they're in the States, but they're also training. They're off training here, or, you know, in some floor somewhere for a certain amount of time doing some training stuff. So they have to try to continue on with their strength conditioning training at that point. So, it's interesting. It was very, very interesting, and it was very rewarding to see a lot of those changes start to take place in such a short period of time. But
yeah, wow, what an experience! I mean, to go from Yale, where you kind of capped things off with the team won a national championship, right? Was that the end of your time there, or was that somewhere?
Yep, that was right around the end of my time there. So yeah.
So you go from NCAA championship with Yale to doing really rewarding work with the Army, and now you're at the University of Michigan. So,
yep.
Quite a trip to get there, and I know, you know, just from talking to some of the players there that the guys really like you and they really like what you're doing. And we kind of knew right off the bat that you were a yearly plan guy, and that's what you're going to be presenting on at the Great Lakes Strength and Conditioning Clinic, Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic, coming up here in May.
Yep.
Your presentation is about creating a yearly plan.
Yes.
Tell us why that's important to you.
So for me, it's important because we have so many different resources and so many different areas that we have to incorporate with what we're doing. You know, I'm looking at a yearly plan right now, and I'm starting to kind of tweak it a little bit. And there's at least 8 or 9 different categories alone that we have to plan for. And then within those categories, you've got all the kind of intricate little details that you have to work with. So, for example, strength training is one of them. Conditioning is another one. Nutrition, technology, psychology, so on and so forth. So if you have all these resources, you need to set up a plan for them so that you can go through and you can progress through them and make sure that you're using them at the appropriate and effective times. If not, I feel as though some resources could get lost and then not being used to their fullest potential, and then that essentially can hurt performance in the long run. So, and then the other thing is also for me, for yearly planning, the NCAA hockey season is so long. You need to be able to make sure that you're actually going through good trends of training so that you're not burning out and you're not overdoing it at one point and you're not going to peak too early or too late and et cetera, et cetera. So.
Yeah, I know you've, you know, I work pretty closely with one of the players, and he said that, you know, in the beginning, in the spring, it was, you know, you were almost having to pull the reins on guys to sort of back them off and make sure that they're not going too hard too early. How do you just make that distinction where, you know, how do you know whether a player is going too hard too early? And, you know, you mentioned it's about peaking at the right time, but, you know, if guys want to kind of get up and go, how do you get them to buy into the fact that, you know, we need to maybe take it easy and be peaking at the right time?
Well, I wouldn't say so much that it's taking it easy or really kind of pulling in the reins as it is trying to guide them through to do things at the appropriate time. So there's definite emphasis of training throughout a year. So at the beginning of the spring term, we want these guys to get strong. We want them to be able to work on building some muscle and building strength and getting powerful and things of that nature. But with that being said, there might be a little bit less of an emphasis on conditioning at that point. So then we want to start to try to change that around. So for me, the biggest thing is obviously when you have the plan, obviously looking at how the body's going to adapt to training and looking at how they are adapting to training. Are they overdoing it too much because they're beat up and they're tired all the time? Or are they good to go and we can kind of release them and let them do what they need to do? So a lot of that's going to be looking at trends and making sure that there's a plan so that week one, you know, they're doing certain things so that in week 3, 4, or 5, they can continue to build on that instead of hit it hard for 1 or 2 weeks and then week 3, 4, and 5, you just don't have any more to give.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and making sure that progression is long term. And I like to use the term slow cooking them. So, you know, we want to make sure that they continue to progress throughout their entire time that they're here, and then throughout their entire time throughout a training phase or a training cycle, depending on how you're looking at it. So.
Yeah, unlike your experience with the Army, you know, you have guys for a while, so it can be a slow cooking process there. That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you think about it, if you've got 8 or 9 weeks, well, you get a guy that comes in and does everything week one, week two, well, what's there left to change? What's there left to progress to for week 8 or 9? So you want to make sure that that continues to progress forward, because that's also going to help with allowing them to gain confidence, allowing them to gain kind of control of what it is they're doing, but also prevent some injuries, some overuse injuries, or prevent burnout or what have you. And for me, the more consistent that you're going to train, the better off you're going to be in the long run. So.
Sure. You mentioned, you know, several areas that you wanted to touch on throughout the year. You mentioned kind of monitoring guys' process and also using technology. Are you using any kind of technology? Justin Rothling Sheffer is going to be talking about using data to track athletes' progress and to drive their performance. And so this is a really common theme that's coming up in strength and conditioning now, that where we're starting to use a lot more numbers and a lot more technology to track that stuff. Are you using something like that?
Yep, so we're starting to get into that. So that's why it's now kind of a bullet point on our programming and on our annual plan. We are starting to dive into more of the technology side of things. You know, we start off with heart rate monitors, and we've kind of progressed past that now. We're exploring some GPS work and things of that nature. So, again, it's a matter of using that technology at the appropriate times and then making sure it's going to be most beneficial for the investment we're making in terms of time and money for it. So, and I'd say that we're very early on in the process of that, and then we're going to start to ramp that up more as we go through. So,
well, I think that seems to be sort of the trend. I think a lot of people are early on in the process, and, you know, hockey in of itself was, you know, on the website, we had a nice conversation with Devin McConnell, and who's out at UMass Lowell. And, you know, he kind of said that at the Sloan Analytics Conference, they talked about how maybe football and basketball are leading the charge here, but hockey is still far behind in terms of the use of technology. But we had a conversation kind of just saying that it's going to change the game in terms of how players are contracted and you know, how we determine who's effective and who's not effective. And I imagine that's definitely going to stretch into the strength and conditioning realm too, because it sounds like if you're not on board with it, it sounds like it's starting to build momentum anyway. So if you can be the first one in the pool there, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, everything in the beginning phases of it, it's kind of a way for people to look at, and it's a tool that they have, but they don't really know exactly what it is that they're telling them for a while. So that's kind of how we approach it, is that we're using it as a tool, but we want to make sure that we're going to use it appropriately, and we're not going to just collect data to just collect data. We want to make sure that we're going to use it in the proper way, and it's actually telling us what we think. So, you know, there's, in all sport coaches and all coaching in general, there's always the idea of, well, you know, this is enough for them, or this is too much for them, or what have you. Well, this is going to give us some data to really actually back some of that up with, all right, this is what a good appropriate practice or training session can be, and these are some of the numbers that we should look to hit, and then how we can go about designing a practice, designing a week of training, or designing a month of training to accomplish that. And again, that's kind of all wrapped back into an annual plan. Well, you know, do you need to do some of this type of training, you know, whether it's high-end conditioning or high-end speed work in May and June, when they don't technically need that till September, October? Well, some of this GPS stuff might actually help us find other ways to train them to kind of get away from some things at certain times of year and add things in at other times of year, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah. I mean, you're getting a roadmap of...
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Cool. You know, you talked a little bit about the technology, and I imagine that would be used throughout the year. But, you know, what are the, maybe, I think the what everybody sort of subscribes to now is, you know, like you said, early off season is strength building time. Once you get closer to season, once you get closer to games, you're looking at more power and conditioning work rather than the strength work. Is that sort of how things are going? And then more of a, you know, maintaining strength throughout the year? Is that the general gist of it anyway?
Yeah, I'd say that's kind of the general gist of it is, you know, we're actually right now in a block of time where we're focusing on recovery. So we're coming in and we're going to work on foam rolling and mobility and working on some rotator cuff work and low back things and stuff like that to kind of help them recover from the year. And that's going to continue on for another couple weeks. And then we're going to start getting into some of the high volume training to help prepare them. So we're going to go through a GPP phase, and then we'll go through a basic and max strength phase, and then we'll go through a power phase, and then we'll get into our conditioning. Now, where things for me differ a little bit is going to be when we get into in season, is we're actually not going to back off too much in terms of some of the loads that we're going to continue on with, because the season is so long. If we start backing off too early, then they might end up weak and not as powerful as they need to, or not as conditioned as they need to be towards the end of the year. So we're going to actually kind of continue to push that through probably about December or so, and then we'll start to back off of that. So we do go into a maintenance phase, so it looks a little bit different than what it is, but we're still trying to gain and build a little bit, if appropriate, throughout the entire year. So I've had players, you know, put numbers on their one rep maxes as they're taking some body weight off, or throughout an entire year. I've had guys go up 10 to 15, 20% in a year on one rep maxes on certain lifts. And I've had other guys just maintain it throughout a year. So again, it's that annual plan is looking to get them to be at their optimal throughout an entire year. You're looking at a 6 or 7 month long season. If you start to back that off too early, you can end up with some not optimal performances later on in the year.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of the most important time of year to be optimal.
That's what everybody goes for. That's why the national championship's always at the end of the year. Right. So,
How much, you know, so obviously you're calling it an annual plan. So you've got parts of it penciled in, for the whole year. How much wiggle room is there in that plan? I mean, is it, obviously, you're not going to move on if you feel like guys aren't quite ready. So do you find that it sort of morphs along the way and you still just try to get to what you can get to?
Yep, exactly. So this is an annual plan is going to be a framework for what you're doing. So you're obviously going to go through the phases, and you want to, you know, a 3-week phase here and a 4-week phase here and so on and so forth. But you have to understand how the players reacted and adapted to the phase that you're currently going through before you can go ahead and jump right into it. So, for example, if we're going through a basic strength phase where we're hitting a lot of fives and stuff like that, and guys are starting to get stronger, but they might not be as prepared for triples and doubles and singles as they need to, maybe you extend that out, or maybe you back it off a little bit to give them some more time to recover. So one phase is going to be built off another. So this annual plan gives you a framework. So right now you look at the annual plan, and the other thing is also you have to take into account school as well. So I'm looking at an annual plan right now. It's looking and telling me about exam periods and fall break and Thanksgiving break and 4th of July and, you know, Christmas break and so on and so forth. So I'm building and trying to find trends of the year that we can get training in throughout that. But that's just a framework for what we're doing. I'm not going to move on a phase to another phase or a higher end phase if our athletes aren't prepared for that. Because again, that's not setting them up to be successful throughout the year.
Yeah, perfect. All right, well, that's good stuff. I look forward to hearing a little more of the bits and pieces, definitely, of your presentation at the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic. Also, you'll be presenting a couple weeks later at the NSCA Training for Ice Hockey Clinic in Colorado Springs. So
yeah, they're two great events. I look forward to both of them, so it'll be a good time.
All right, well, if you want to hear the rest of Joe's presentation or the bits and pieces of Joe's presentation, you'll join us at the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic on May 9th at Eastern Michigan University. And Joe, thanks for taking the time to be with us today, and good luck with the guys this spring, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's going to wrap up episode 19 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much to Coach Maher for joining us from the University of Michigan and letting us know a little bit about his presentation for the Great Lakes Clinic coming up here on May 9th. That's the end of our episodes for all the Great Lakes Clinic presenters. Make sure if you missed some, you can check out all those episodes, episode 13 through episode 19. So we've got a lot of great content there, and each one will give you a little bit of a preview of what each presenter will be talking about at the clinic. If you need more information about the clinic, again, head to greatlakeshockeystrength.com. There's a full schedule. You can register there, and we hope you can join us. It's going to be a great event. That's all we've got for today. Be sure to tune in for episode 20 of the Hockey Strength Podcast coming up in the next couple weeks here. Until then, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com for the web's best hockey training information. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.